This is podcast number 87 for the Well-Educated Mother's Heart. Hi, I'm Marlene Peterson, and today we're talking about building courage in your children. How to teach children courage through stories. We frequently hear fathers and mothers, when need of either physical or moral courage on the part of a child arises, say, "Don't be afraid. Go on. There is nothing to be afraid of." Even when this speech fits the facts of the case, it very seldom has the desired effect. Almost never is the child to whom it is said helped by it to be brave. The reason is that courage is not a state of not being afraid, nor of going on because one knows there is nothing to be afraid of. Courage, whether physical or moral, is a more positive and active thing than that. It is the quality which impels one to go on, if it be desirable or right to go on, even though one be afraid, and even though there be something to be afraid of. In order to teach children to be brave, one must first of all make clear to them that this is what bravery is. We can do this in various ways, but in no better way possibly than by references to the brave heroes and heroines of stories known to children. Perhaps there are no stories in which the virtue of courage is so unmistakably apparent as in the old-fashioned fairy tales. In almost every instance, the triumph of a good prince over the wicked ogre, or the victory of the gentle princess over the cruel witch, is due to great courage. So conspicuously displayed, moreover, that children not only see it and admire it, but also remember it. Jack of Jack and the Beanstalk, for instance, is a hero whose bravery every small boy accepts and cherishes with delight, for the reason that every small boy sees that had Jack been a coward, the story would have ended before the occurrence of its principal incidents. Had Jack not been a brave boy, he never would have entered the giant's house, much less continue to enter it again and again until he won back for his mother all his father's treasures stolen by the giant. This is what a child sees, the courage of Jack. Grown persons sometimes, it is to be regretfully admitted, occasionally see in this and in other old fairy tales other, less pleasing things, but not so children. They see only the central fact, the fact of the potency of courage, the fact that is the reason for the perennial vitality of the old fairy tales. Parents who will look at the old fairy tales as their children look at them will find that there is scarcely an occasion requiring courage on the part of the children that cannot be met with the help of the heroes and heroines of fairy tales, the children's heroes and heroines. That constantly recurring problem, for instance, the fear of the dark. There is scarcely a parent who at one time or another does not have to help a child to meet and overcome this fear. To many children, the dark is as actual as a person and as terrible as an unfriendly person. Such children can overcome their fear of the dark only by being helped to meet it with courage and thus meeting it to overcome it. The statement that there is nothing to be afraid of is seldom convincing. The better plan is to hold up a model of bravery, a beloved model. There is, for example, Hop-o'-my-Thumb. He was smaller than the smallest child, and in a dark wood instead of only a dark room, and yet he was able to behave bravely. A sensitive little boy of 4, very much afraid of the dark, to whom Hop-o'-my-Thumb, his newest acquaintance in the fairy tale world, was held up as a model, said, "There were wolves in the forest, and it was dark and raining." "Yes," said his mother, "but Hop-o'-my-Thumb was brave about it. You are in your own room, at home, and there is nothing here to hurt you." "Something might come out when the light is put out," the child said timidly. "Well," said the mother, "supposing something did. Couldn't you, a big boy, be as brave as tiny little Hop-o'-my-Thumb?" "Yes," the little boy granted, reluctantly, it is true, but he began that night to meet his fear of the dark with courage. Within 6 months, he had quite overcome it. Similarly, with the fear of thunderstorms, so many children have this fear. Instead of telling the children there is nothing to be afraid of, even when a thunderstorm is so far away that this is the case, parents will help their children to be brave far more quickly and effectually by looking at the thunderstorm from the child's point of view and inspiring the child to courage in the way in which the child can be most readily thus inspired by the use of familiar and favorite stories. Some children, and indeed some grown persons, never overcome the fear of thunderstorms, but even a very small child can be helped to meet that fear and to do what is right on the occasion of a thunderstorm in spite of timidity. The real danger that there sometimes is in thunderstorms frequently leads parents to confirm the fears of their children by hurrying them away from the windows in the event of a sudden thunderstorm. Few of us have not heard a mother exclaim, "Keep in the middle of the room, children. I will close the windows." A parent with more forethought, having previously explained to the children just when it is safe to approach a window during a severe thunderstorm, will, when a storm comes up, ask the children to help her close the windows. Should a child be so afraid that he cannot bring himself at once to do this, he should not be forced, but gently, carefully, his courage should be increased and strengthened. Naturally, the windows cannot be left open during a thunderstorm in order that this must be done. No one will understand this so readily as a child to whom it is explained. But the initial step may be taken the first time the child shows fear during a thunderstorm, and the remainder of the way toward courage traveled until the child has been helped to reach the point at which he will, though perhaps still afraid, conduct himself with bravery. There are many stories that, told to children, will help them to see the beauty and the importance of being brave, especially for the sake of others, though the danger to oneself be great. Perhaps there is no better fairy tale of this kind than the story of Faithful John. It always comes to my remembrance when the problem of a child afraid of a thunderstorm comes up, because I once, through it, helped a little girl to meet such a fear. She had as great a terror as I have ever seen of thunderstorms, and also had heard rather too much about the danger of going near windows during thunderstorms. I happened to visit her parents one summer when she was at the age at which "tell me a story" was her most frequent remark. I happened one day to tell her the tale of Faithful John. She was much impressed by the way in which Faithful John, at the risk of his life, 3 times saved the young king and his bride from death. Several times in speaking of the story, she said, "Think of his taking such care of them when he knew it might kill him." One day during my visit, there was a sudden and severe thunderstorm. The little girl showed the utmost alarm and cowered in a corner of the room while the windows were being closed. Her mother, indeed, suggested that she help close them, but the little girl showed so much fear that no pressure was brought to bear. She was allowed not to help. The house was large, and there were many windows to be closed. Various members of the household ran about attending to them. Presently, the little girl saw that she was about to be left alone. "Stay with me," she cried out to her mother. No one excepting myself heard her in the general hurry. "I'm going to close the windows in the library," I said. "Will you come with me?" Rather than be left alone, she came, clinging to my hand. Lying on the couch in the library was her aged grandfather. Seeing him, I said, "We must be quick with these windows, on your grandfather's account. Will you try and help me, though you are afraid?" I added, without much expectation, however, that she would. "Yes," the child said excitedly, "I will, to save grandfather, like Faithful John. Maybe, perhaps, I will die myself doing it." She actually did close 2 windows. Since that time, several years ago, her mother tells me that she always helps in this way when a thunderstorm approaches, or even comes suddenly, though with trembling. Of course, when that little girl is older, she will realize how much less dangerous thunderstorms are than she now thinks them. It may be that she will wholly overcome her fear of them, or it may be that she will never quite lose it. In any case, she has learned to meet a thunderstorm courageously, and that is the main thing. A child's fear of the dark or of a thunderstorm, like any other fear not likely to result in bodily harm to the child, does not usually cause such alarm to parents as some of those other fears of childhood, of which a physical accident may be the outcome. The fear of animals, for instance, particularly of dogs, is considered somewhat dangerous to a child as to a grown person for the reason that a dog is more likely to injure a person who appears to be afraid than one who does not. Wise parents whose children are afraid of dogs try to overcome this fear by the justly time-honored procedure of persuading the child who is afraid to make friends with a dog known to be gentle. This is, of course, the thing to do, but it is not always easy, and occasionally it seems almost impossible. A very fearful little girl sometimes cannot be induced to pat even a gentle dog on the head or to take its offered paw. How to lead a child to make friends with a dog is a question that appears with each generation of timorous children. It would never, I must confess, have occurred to me to use a fairy tale in order to inspire, in a fearful child, sufficient courage to touch a dog had I not seen it done. A new neighbor came with her little girl of 5 years old to call upon me. My dog, one of the gentlest of animals, inspired the little girl, who was much afraid of dogs, with real terror by rushing up to her and frisking about her. I at once made ready to take the dog into another room and close the door. The neighbor exclaimed, "Let him stay. I'm sure he is a gentle beast." I assured her that he was, and suggested that she ask him to shake hands with her, this usually having the effect of quieting the dog. My neighbor did shake hands with him, and then taking her little girl's hand, she said encouragingly, "You shake hands with him, dear. He is a good dog, though he barks loud and looks fierce. He probably is a prince inside, like the beast in Beauty and the Beast. Don't you remember? If Beauty had not made friends with him, she would not have found out that he was a prince. Shake hands with him. He likes little girls, just as the beast liked Beauty." The small girl, with some timidity still, it is true, but also with a little smile, took the dog's paw. She did not go very near him or encourage him to come very near her during the course of the call, but when tea time came, she, like the rest of us, dropped a bit of her cake on the hearth rug for him, and when she was saying goodbye, patted him on the head, very lightly to be sure, but still patted him. "The next time I saw the little girl's mother," she said, "my little girl has always been very much afraid of dogs. We have never happened to have one, neither have any of our friends. She had never before seen one at such close range as she saw yours the other day. Perhaps, if she gets to know him better, so that she is not afraid of him at all, she may lose her fear of dogs. This is rather a great deal to expect, perhaps, but certainly that little girl is now very friendly with my dog. In regard to other dogs, she has reached the point of saying, 'Maybe they are all princes inside, some of them anyway, this one of course.' After all, even those of us who have grown up who are not afraid of dogs would hardly feel justified in summing up the entire canine race very differently from this. Whatever the fears of children, whether reasonable or groundless, it is, everyone will agree, of the very first importance to help the children to overcome them. Child psychologists tell us, what every person who loves and understands children already knows, that fear is the child's most cruel enemy. Not only are the spiritual and mental processes stultified by fear, it also is a menace to physical health. Children should, insofar as possible, go on their way undeterred and unshadowed by fear. We cannot bring this about by saying to the children, "There is nothing to be afraid of." Even when this is true, it is not convincing, and when it is not true, it rings as hollow as other untruths. What we can do, what we should do, what we must do, is to say to the children, "Even though there is something to be afraid of, and you are afraid, be brave. Don't run away from that of which you are afraid. Meet it squarely. In this way and in this way only can you conquer it. It is not only that we must say this, as most of us have found when the individual, practical, insistent problem has confronted us, we must prove it to the children. There are many good ways in which we may do this, but since one of the very best is by the use of the fine old fairy tales, let us take, for one way, that way.